Genesis chapter 10. I have so much to cover today. So much that the Lord has laid upon our heart. You couple that with Him giving me a whole new kind of thought and idea as far as our look at this chapter. I ask you to continue to pray that the Lord would bless us together as we look to His Word. Genesis chapter 10, verse number 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, those three boys that have been before us for some time. And we see that after the flood, they began to have their own children. They began to multiply and fill the earth. This is a generational, is that the word I want to use? Genealogical chapter. By most, it is considered bare and vacant and difficult to get anything out of. Of all the genealogical chapters in the Bible, this one is singled out as the most difficult to get anything from, to preach a sermon from. And yet, it is the Word of God. And yet, it is a part of the Word of God. And all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. In Genesis chapter 10, we find the most ancient record we possess of the route to the nations of the world. I believe there are 70 nations identified for us in the record of Genesis chapter 10. And it's interesting that when Jesus Christ sent out those witnesses while he was here, those 70 witnesses, that he sent out 70. I find that interesting, and I think there's most likely some kind of a reason that we might consider, we might come to if we consider this chapter. It's interesting, in addition to that thought, that some will argue that there's actually 72 nations identified in this list. So there's a debate between those who see 70 and those who see 72. And when you consider the 70 witnesses that Jesus Christ sent forth, there was the same debate. Some say 70, some say he sent 72, and they have their own reasons for that. This is a list of the nations that God brought forth upon this earth following the flood. This was His repopulating the earth. This is a record of His sending forth these three sons and their seeds to populate and to replenish the earth. In chapter 9, verse number 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In verse number 7, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons, with him, saying, And verse 18 and 19, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. God blessed these three sons, sent them forth to replenish and to multiply. And we read here in Genesis chapter 10 of God doing just that through them. Shem, Ham, and Japheth begin to have sons born to themselves after the flood, after that great devastation of life, and particularly human life, upon the earth. Verse 32 of chapter 10, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. These families of the sons of Noah, which brought forth their own sons and their own children, by these was the nations of the earth reformed, repopulated. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. In verse number 25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. This Peleg will be found in the lineage of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3, I believe it is. God will maintain that direct line from there in Genesis when he promised a Savior. He will maintain it through all of this time, and will maintain it during this time through this Peleg. And many argue and many believe and hold to the idea that in his day the earth was divided, speaking of the continents pulling apart and the whole earth being reformed. And I don't hold to that idea at all. I think when it tells us that Peleg, whose name means division, in his days was the earth divided, in his days were the kingdoms separated. Because what we find in Genesis chapter 10 is a genealogical record that chronologically follows chapter 11. It's after Babel. It's after God's dividing of the people. It's after God's dispersing of the people in Genesis chapter 11. That these things in chapter 10 are carried out. So chapter 9, we see the references concerning Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We see the records of the generations or the nations that came from them in chapter 10. And all of this occurred after chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel. Man did not immediately disperse. He did not spread out. He stayed together, and he stayed as one, and he moved as one. And they came to the Tower of Babel, and they decided to come up with their own religion. They decided to build a tower that would reach up into heaven and reach up unto God. And God judged them, and God dispersed them. God destroyed the temple. And these nations that we read about in chapter 10 are those that were sent out, dispersed, and formed following the Tower of Babel. In verse number 2 through 5, we find the descendants of Japheth, the descendants of Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after his their families in their nations. So as this division takes place following God's dispersing of the group at the Tower of Babel, they all had their own languages and they all kind of separated themselves according to those languages. The people of Japheth, there's 14 nations, there's 14 peoples that come out of the seed of Japheth. We find them represented in the Medes, in the Greeks, Cypriots, the Caucasians of Europe, North Asia. These were those that we would most likely find our records passing through. I want to read a little bit here from a man on the subject. On the genealogy of Japheth, generally speaking, these people went into Europe, Asia. One group settled in India and the other in Europe. Together they form what is known as the Indo-European family of nations. These people seem to be gifted in the area of philosophical and intellectual pursuits. It is interesting to note that both Indians and Europeans trace their ancestry back to Japheth. Moses has less to say on the genealogy of Japheth than the other two genealogies. Yet most people in America are of the stock of Japheth. So it is interesting to spend some time knowing our family tree. Japheth has seven sons, but only three are traced for us in any detail. Gomer settled originally in the Balkan area and later migrated into Germany. From Gomer came the word Gaul or Gallic. They migrated north, and from Gomer came the early settlers of Spain, France, Britain, and especially Germany. From the Gauls came most of the early families of Western Europe and consequently of the Americas as well. Magog founded the northern barbarian hordes that settled beyond the Caspian and Black Seas. This would be the whole central section of modern Russia. Madai is easily identified as the Medes of the famous Medes and Persian Empire. Javan is unquestionably the ancestor of the Greeks. His name, Javan, is still found in the Greek in the form of Ionia. The Ionic Sea, the Ionian Peninsula, all derive from the word Javan. Tubal and Meshach migrated into the area of modern-day Turkey. Tyrus was probably the ancestor of Tersinor, a pirate Aegean people. So the people that are found coming from the sons of Japheth are the Medes, the Greeks, the Cypriots, the Caucasians of Europe, northern Asia, most northern Americans will find their heritage going back through Japheth. In verse number 6 to verse number 20, you find the sons of Ham. Whereas there was 14 sons connected with Japheth, there's 30 sons connected with Ham. They involve the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Africans, and the Orientals, as well as some others. And in verse number 21 through 31, You find the genealogy of Shem, the Semitic people, the Jews, the Arabs, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Arameans, the Phoenicians, along with some other. It is through the seed of Shem, the lineage of Shem, that the people of Israel will come, and eventually the Lord Jesus Christ will come. It is through the line of Shem that the Jewish people will arise, and Jesus Christ was definitely a Jew. And this is the record of Genesis chapter 10. It's the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Or as it is listed, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. From these brothers came 70 nations that God dispersed and God spread around the globe and can be still be found in the traces of human history today. I want to close today, not at this moment, but I want to close today with the reading of the line of Shem, verse 21 through 32. But before we get there, I want us to think about these generations of the sons of Noah. Some of these things I'm going to reflect upon, we've touched on before, and they will seem familiar to you, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But there are many things that we can learn looking at this genealogical record in Genesis chapter 10. You read this name after name after name after name and say, well, there's nothing here. There's nothing that can be gleaned. There's nothing that can be learned. There's nothing that can benefit us. It's a historical record that is most bare. It lists names and peoples whom we no longer know or care about. There's nothing here. Well, in studying this genealogical record, in studying the record that from these three sons that God blessed and God sent forth to replenish the earth, as we consider the record that through these three sons, the world was repopulated and replenished, and most people, everybody is going to find themselves being traced through the lineage of one of these three sons. I think there's many lessons to be learned, many things to be considered. I think we said this last week or the week before. First thing we can learn is how quickly men forget about God. In chapter 10, verse number 1, these are the generations of the son of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. And in verse number 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. This chapter begins with that statement, it ends with that statement, after the flood. But as you consider all the time represented for us here after the flood, I want to ask the question, well, where is God in these days? Where is God in the record? Where is God in the minds and the hearts of those after the flood? Looking at that fact and looking at the fact that history tends to prove they had no regard for God, we learn how quickly people are to forget God. In our Sunday school lesson, in our study of the kings and in some of the things we've been considering, the thought has come out how quickly we can forget about God, how quickly we can get away from God. We have been warned to be careful about how quickly we can get out of the will of the Lord and find ourselves in a terrible situation. In this list of 70 nations on this table of nations, there seems to be no hint that they followed God. And it's quite possible that they didn't. It is most likely that God maintained a remnant, God maintained a small number of those through all of this spreading of humanity. But most had no time for God. Most had forgotten God. Another point that we have brought up before is if the record of Genesis chapter 10 is considered correctly, a man put it this way, if considered correctly, this record will eliminate all racial prejudice. If we'll really get a hold of what Genesis chapter 10 is telling us, and what Genesis chapter 10 is really telling us, that is all people came from these three. All human beings trace themselves back to these three. All other human beings had been destroyed. Noah and his family were the only ones that survived. From Noah and his family, the world was replenished and the world was repopulated. And if we'll get a hold of that, we will learn, and we need to learn, that everybody, it doesn't matter what the color of your skin, everybody traces themselves back through these three sons. Whatever your skin tone is, you can trace your ancestry back to one of these. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse 26. Let's back up and read verse 24. God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of this earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might seek, feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the earth in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God has made of all people one blood. God has made of all people one blood, human blood. There's one kind, that's mankind. And God's people need to remember that. One man I was reading was reflecting on the Ku Klux Klan and the Ku Klux Klan from days gone by. And he pointed out the fact that Ku Klux Klan, every one of those particular orders, chapters that you could find, they all had chaplains. They all had those who were to minister unto them spiritual things. The Ku Klux Klan considered themselves a religious organization. Many of the things they did, they thought they were doing according to what God's will would be. Of course, we know that's not so. If we consider the record correctly, all racial prejudice would dissolve. All peoples are traced back to these three individuals from this passage of Scripture. And we see in this not only that thought, but we see the sovereignty of God. God saw fit to save Noah, and God saw fit to save those three sons of Noah, and God saw fit to bless them, and God saw fit to send them forth, and God brought forth seed from them, and God dispersed them in the nation, and God was in charge of all this. We see the sovereignty of God in the forming of the nations. We see the sovereignty of God in the setting the borders and the boundaries of all these nations. We see the sovereignty of God and should not argue with it or against it. We've already mentioned how we see back in our text through this Peleg the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Verse number 25 shows us that God maintained an unbroken line to Jesus Christ through this Peleg. Another thing we learn as we consider the record of Genesis chapter 10, we learn that all human beings, yes, man is quick to forget God. If considered correctly, all racial prejudice would dissolve. It matters not what your skin tone. You can trace yourself and you can be traced through these three men. We see the sovereignty of God. We see God maintaining an unbroken line to Jesus Christ. But we also see him showing us here in Genesis chapter 10 that human beings all have the same basic need. There's nobody here exempt. There's nobody here left out of that. There's nobody you're ever going to meet. There's nobody that's ever going to live. There's nobody here that doesn't have the same basic need that you share with everybody that's ever lived, going back to the days of these three brothers. And your need is to see yourself a sinner. Your need is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible does not say some have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. Nobody excluded, nobody left out. All human beings go back through these, and these three all go back through Noah, and Noah takes us back to Adam. And in Adam all fell, and all are sinners. And that's still true today because we're all from the same lineage and the same seed. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Notice what God says. What God says in his word about man. For the imagination of man's heart, all man, every man's heart, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Through the unfolding of the Genesis record in these chapters we've been in, we've seen God presenting to us the reality of the depravity of man. Totally depraved. That's what man is. Totally depraved. That's what you are. That's what I am. Dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what everyone is without the Lord Jesus Christ. So this record teaches us that all people have the same basic need because they're all sinners. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's no way to get saved other than the grace of God. Everybody needs to see themselves a sinner. Everybody needs to be saved by the grace of God. Everybody here needs to repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul, because everybody here goes back through these three men. We can't think ourselves better than anybody else. We can't think ourselves different from anybody else. We can't exalt ourselves as supreme to anybody else. We need to throw away all the prejudices, and I mean all the prejudices, not just the black and the white and the brown and the skin color issues. But there's a lot of prejudices that people maintain in their lives. A lot of reasons they think themselves better than somebody else. And you're no better, and I'm no better than anybody else. Because we all go through these same three men. I mean, we can talk about prejudice, and we can talk about, oh, I'm not prejudiced. I don't have any prejudice against black people. Yeah, what other prejudices do you have? What other ways do you think you're better than somebody else? Secretly, I think most of us think we've got to figure it out. Everybody else is wrong. We do this way, and that's the right way. They do that way. That's the wrong way. We feel very high of ourselves, don't we? That's prejudice. That's prejudice. Jesus Christ died upon the cross to save all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can learn from this passage of Scripture not only that all men have the same basic need, but we can learn from this passage of Scripture that God wants everyone. I believe I can say that, and I don't apologize. God wants everyone to hear the gospel, to hear the gospel. Whosoever will may come. That's what God says. So he's going to have that gospel preached. He's going to have that gospel cast out. He's going to have that gospel put forth. He's going to have that gospel taught. He's going to have people talking about that gospel, churches sharing that gospel. He's going to have that gospel taken all. And when he says all that come will be received, he's sincere. He's sincere. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission tells us to go into all the world. What are we going to do? Entertain them, stimulate them, motivate them, tell them jokes and make them happy and feel better about their lot in life through some means other than the gospel? No. We go into all the world to preach the gospel. No matter who, we preach the gospel. Some people will support mission work. And I'm just trying to be plain spoken here. They will participate in mission work where a missionary goes to some foreign country and tells a native about Jesus Christ. They'll support mission work like that. But they won't go across the street or they won't go down the road to tell a black person about Jesus Christ. The one in the jungle and the one down the road, irregardless of the color of their skin, they need to hear the gospel, and God desires that they hear the gospel. You need to hear the gospel. God desires you to hear the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell it to all those that God says we're to baptize, those we baptize, we disciple, and that's across the board. What kind of person would you not want to be a member of this church? If any answer comes to your mind, you're prejudiced. Amen. And you don't get the fact that we all come from these same three individuals, and you don't get the fact that all are sinners, and you don't get the fact that everybody needs the gospel, and God would have everybody to hear the gospel. There's no room in God's family, there's no room in the Lord's churches for prejudice, self-righteousness, seeing oneself better than another, because we all come through these same three. And God tells us to wear blinders when it comes to who we tell the gospel. Who have you resisted? Who have you refused to tell the gospel to for some reason? They're coming down the street and there they are. They look different. They look scary. You're in a dangerous situation, a dangerous environment. Better avoid this contact. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the way, the truth, and the life to all people without exception. And God would have all people to hear that message. And if we're saved, he's called us to send that message, to share that message. No man without exception, no man comes unto the God because of their intelligence, their abilities, their skill, or who they are, or what they are. All are sinners. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 tells us there's no other name given among heaven other than the name of Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There's not a name for us and another name for someone else. There's not Jesus for some and some other means for others. There's not a Jesus for some, and some folks can't be saved. That's foolishness. That's evil. That's sinful. God would have us to get that from this passage of Scripture. So man is seen as quick to forget God. Have you ever forgotten God? Have you ever let your life get in a condition where God just seemed far off? You find yourself going through weeks. You find yourself going through months. You find yourself going through maybe years. Just no feeling at all. It's true, isn't it? God can be forgotten. God can be cast aside. We're quick to forget God. You would think after this traumatic upheaval of the flood and all people coming from these three, you would think the message would be passed along. That was a terrible thing, this flood that God sent. It was a terrible thing. Let's not forget. But they forgot. We forget. God makes a mess out of our life, and God brings us to repentance and faith and confession. And how quick are we to forget God? Oh, God, forgive me. I'll do anything. He forgives you. Then what do? Nothing. How quick is man to forget? If correctly applied and understood, irregardless of the color of your skin, you trace your ancestry through the same three people. I guess to put it simply, we're all related. Amen. Maybe you never thought about that, but going back to Adam means we're all related. God made Adam and God made Eve. God made the man, God made the woman. And from that man and that woman, all other human beings came. So we're all related going back to Adam. God destroyed all living things except for Noah and his family. So as they came forth from the ark and multiplied, we all now can go back through those three sons. We see the sovereignty of God in this 10th chapter. God is in charge. God is doing this. God is controlling all of these things. We see the unbroken line of Jesus Christ preserved in that 25th verse. We see that all human beings being related all have the same basic need. Everybody here who is saved has something everybody else needs. If you're here and you're lost, you need what everyone else may have, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't say you don't need it. Don't say you're not bad enough. Don't say you'll get there some other way. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. Let stubbornness, let pride say, no, not me. But one day you may open your eyes in a place called hell, crying out, be merciful to me, God. And God's going to say, it's too late. Don't cast away Jesus Christ today. Don't cast away the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior today. Don't let self-righteousness, prejudice, or any other reason, stubbornness, your depravity, don't let anything keep you from seeing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants everybody to hear the gospel. That's why you're hearing it this morning. Now, what are you going to do with it? What's your excuse? Back there in Genesis, chapter 10. I have so many notes, I don't know what to do with them. The genealogy of Shem. Japheth, most everybody in North America probably is traceable through the line of Japheth. The way the descendants of Japheth multiplied and went over the earth. Ham has its own list. And those who come through Shem are the Jewish line. And with, I think I told you Wednesday night, with this 10th and 11th chapter of Genesis, God goes from the global perspective. It's been pretty well global from Genesis 1 to Genesis 9 now. But with 10 and 11, God narrows in on the people of Israel. He narrows in on Jewish history. He'll call Abraham in chapter 12. From Abraham, he will make a great nation. And through the rest of Scripture, God will deal with his people, the people of Israel, until the New Testament age when he casts them aside briefly and he deals with the people of his church and regarding his church. Generally speaking, these people settled in the Middle East. To Shem and his ancestry were given the religious primacy of mankind. The Semitic peoples are responsible under God to develop the spiritual life of mankind. It is not surprising, then, that from the Semitic peoples have arisen the three great religions of the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Shem is said to be the father of the children of Eber. From Eber comes the word Hebrew. Abraham, who was really the founder of the Hebrew nation, was six generations beyond Eber. Yet Eber is of such note that Abraham is identified as an Eberite or Hebrew. Elam is southern Mesopotamia. Asher is related to Assyria. Arphaxad relates to the mountainous areas north and northeast of Nineveh in Assyria. Lud is the Lydians in Asia Minor. Aram, the Arameans or Syrians in Syria and Mesopotamia. God deals with Shem last because he is the most important. The emphasis in Genesis from this time on is Shem's line. God sovereignly restricts the portion of humanity that he will deal with to one family group, the family of Shem. In Genesis 11:10, he begins to narrow it even further to one man, Abraham. From Abraham, he begins to broaden out again to take in Abraham and all his descendants, both physical and spiritual. The rest of the Bible is all about the children of Abraham, both physically and spiritually. Now, the descendants of Japheth, 2 through 5, the descendants of Ham, verse 6 through 20, and the descendants of Shem are recorded in verse 21 through 31. Let's just read through those and we'll close. Chapter 10, verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, Gether and Mash, and Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad, and Sheleph, and Hazarmaveth, and Jera, and Hadaram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sepher, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations and their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So after the flood, God repopulated the earth through these three men that were all the sons of Noah. These that are set forth as the 70 nations on this chart of the nations will be divided and will be sent forth and designated by their going forth following chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel and God's dispersing the people. And in all of this, we just keep being reminded God's in control. God's doing all of this according to a plan. I almost feel I need to say, nowhere do you find God reacting. God is always acting. God is always carrying out his will. God is never caught off guard. God is never surprised. God was not caught off guard when Eve fell into sin and cast all of mankind into sin. God was not caught off guard whenever man has fumbled and fall. God has always known what was going to happen. And God has always been carrying out his will. And God knows why you're here today. God knows your need. God knows why he brought you here. He may have brought you here for you to cast it away and for him to judge you severely one day. He may have brought you here to hear about Jesus Christ one more time and be saved. He may have brought you here to one more time to hear the call. Do what God would have you to do. Be in the will of God. Live in the will of God. Stop making excuses and do what you need to do. Maybe that's why God's brought you here. I ask you at the beginning of this message, what do you need to hear from God? Somehow or another, if you really need it, you're going to hear it, even from this kind of a message. What are you going to do with it? Let's stand together. Sing a verse of song.